We're going to go ahead. Oh, just go ahead and come on up, sir. We're going to go and get started this morning, but this morning we're going to take a little break from our normal Sunday school class, and Brother Chilando's here, and they're going to be with us all day long, so we're going to go ahead and give him some extra time today in Sunday school and hear what the Lord has for us to hear today. So with let me just open in prayer, and we'll just go ahead and have him take the podium. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for opportunities. Lord, today is a special day, and I thank you that you've set it aside for us, and I pray that we would honor and glorify your name above all things. Lord, that our fellowship would be sweet, that we'd be diligent to exhort one another while it's called today, and Father, that you'd just bless our time with the Chilandos and encourage us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And sir, if you'll come on up, this is Brother Martin Chilando, and if you'll introduce your family as well.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if I'm on.
Flip the switch on that thing.
I think I did.
No,
the light's on, so.
You're good to go, right?
Okay. All right. Well, amen. We're delighted to be here. La Plata, Maryland. We kept driving and driving and driving and weren't getting there. I was like, man, does this place exist? But it's great. It's great to be here. We're delighted to be here. Thank you, Pastor Sutton. We got to meet Brother Miss Sutton here in Arizona. And I had a good time talking, introduction, and getting to know them a little bit. We got to meet Brother Park and got to talk with him a little bit. So we're familiar with your preacher and his family, and we're delighted to be here. Let me introduce my family. We're the Chilando family. We're at Hillcrest Baptist Church. We're currently missionaries in Zambia, sent out of Hillcrest Baptist Church. That is my wife back there, Jennifer. I think most of you have met her. Then we have Caroline, we have Gabby, we have Hannah, and Isaiah. And I think Jenna has gone out to a class somewhere. We are currently on furlough. We've been in the country for, about 5 weeks, a month yesterday. There you go. So we just now feel like, things are moving right and we're waking up at the right time and all of that stuff. So it's really been wonderful. Being back, getting to meet friends and some family and getting to make new friends. And that's what we're certainly looking forward to today. Amen. Let me just tell you a little bit about Zambia, the work we're doing, where we're coming from, and how we got here. Are out of El Paso, Texas. That's the it's western Texas, right at the border. And so, and we've been serving, or rather before I was sent out of Hillcrest Baptist Church, I was the an associate there at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I was the music director, outreach pastor, and of course we've been through the youth department, we've been through different ministries. I feel like I've been around in all areas, just what the Lord does to you. We enjoyed our time being at Hillcrest Baptist Church and serving the Lord there until the Lord said it was time for us to go. Now before I tell you about us being on the field, let me just introduce you to me. I was born and raised in Zambia, Africa. I know you don't believe it, okay? But I was born and raised in Zambia, Africa. I came to the U.S. when I was 19 years old, some long time ago. I came here because I wanted to get a business degree. I wanted to be like my dad. I was born and raised from what you'd call, I guess, an affluent family. My dad worked for the mines, that is the copper mines. Zambia is a big copper mining country. And so my dad was an executive in there in the mines. And so when I looked at him, I said, that's what I want to be. So that was my aspiration when I came to the United States. I was saved at the age of 16 while in Zambia. You know, growing up, I was, you know, just a normal teenager, I guess, you know. I feel like I was good enough. We used to go to the United Church of Zambia, which is the Church of England, if you're familiar with that. The Queen is the head of the Church of England. And that is the thing in Zambia. So you're either Catholic or you go to the Church of England, or, you know, right now, you know, you're Pentecostal or something like that. Baptist, not so much. So that's what I grew up knowing. And that's where we went to church. And sometimes we attended Sunday school, and we were told that you had to be good. You had to, of course, all the good stuff, you know, obey your parents, you know, don't lie, don't steal, and all that kind of stuff. And if you do happen to do those things, when it comes Easter time, make sure you attend service and you confess your sins. And when you confess your sins, your slate is wiped clean, and you get to accumulate new sins. Just don't die before, you know, you get to get rid of the sins on your plate. And so that's what I thought. You know, I just thought to myself, oh, okay, you know. And then when you get of age, you get baptized and all of that stuff. And so I just thought, you know what? I was told that salvation and heaven and all of that stuff, that's for the serious adults. That's not for teenagers, you know. I'm not there yet. I don't have to worry about there yet. And right now I'm just basically riding on my parents' faith and that kind of thing. So it wasn't until Zambia became a Christian nation. So I'm sort of giving you the history of Zambia here with you know, my salvation. Zambia became a Christian nation in 1991. That is when, of course, there's no such thing as a Christian nation. I personally believe that. No more than you can have a Christian car. And so Zambia was a one-party state and then became a democratic state. And the president that became president then in 1991 said, I'm going to declare Zambia a Christian nation. So for the first time, we started to hear televangelists on TV and all these things on TV. And it was all new and would sit there glued watching. So I remember this one time I came home from school and I was sitting there. There was nothing to watch on TV. There was preaching on TV. I sat there and I was watching. And I don't remember who this preacher was, but he was preaching through this, his messages. And then he started to give the plan of salvation. He started to say, you know, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and you die today, you'll go to hell. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean I'll go to hell? I mean, I'm good. I've been fine. You know, why are you telling me this stuff now? You know, and he kept on going. And at the end, he put out his hand in front of the camera. I mean, this is all new to me. And you know, you can see his hand on the TV. And he's like, if you're sitting right there on the couch, I want you to get up and you want to come to the TV. Put your hand on my hand and pray this prayer after me. I looked at that. I said, come on now. Don't be silly. How's a TV going to save me and keep me from hell? You know, and so I started questioning myself. It's the first time the seed had been planted in me that if I could die and I could end up in hell. But, you know, I was not getting up and putting my hand on the TV. So I said, God, if I know you're real, but if what he's saying is true, and I know you're all powerful and you can do all things. I want somebody to come and explain this to me. And I thought I had made my peace with God. If I die and I end up at the judgment, I'll say, God, I asked you to send someone. You didn't, you know? And so, to my surprise, 2 weeks later, an independent Baptist missionary family moves in two houses down from my house. I didn't know this, but I got to meet the son in the street. And he says, hey, man, would you like to come and play football, soccer? Now, that's all we ever did. We just played, you know. So you get this American family that got good balls, man. Let's go there. Let's go kick some football around, you know. And so I said, yeah, man, let's go. And so we went. Little did I know it was a trick. We got there and we played football. And the missionary came out and said, okay, young people, come here, sit down. And it's halftime. Let's have the halftime talk. But what he did was he got the Bible out. And he started sharing the gospel. He started from Genesis. He started to show from Genesis how sin came into the world and how we're all sinners and there's nothing we can do about our sin. And then went all the way to Jesus Christ and why it is that Jesus Christ came and died. You see, I never knew. I just knew Easter was a time when Jesus died for me and you confess your sins. I never knew that I was actually a sinner on my way to hell, and that if I had not put my faith in Jesus Christ, that I would end up in hell regardless of what age I was. You know, and this is the first time I heard this, and I was like, wow, you know. But I am not as bad as you think I am. And I think this is for like the murderers, you know, and all of, I try to put it off. But of course, once the Holy Spirit gets you, you know, very tough, very hard to get away from it. I didn't get saved then, but he held, the missionary put together a youth camp. And again, I'd been struggling with the fact that I needed to get saved. And that is the time that I finally said, you know what? Okay, yes, Lord, I did ask you to send someone and you did. And I need to do this. I need to put my faith in you. And that is when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Yeah. And so it was wonderful just to see how the Lord worked all of that out. And he is faithful and he is, you know, he hears our prayer. He hears the prayer of the sinner that is seeking to hear, you know, to receive the gospel. Well, so that is my salvation. Now, I take you up forward. I'm attending college. I actually was attending business college, but at Pensacola Christian College. And while there, we had opportunity to hear, you know, preachers. There were mission conferences and all of these things going on. And I used to just look at that and say, well, this is good Christian education. I'm good. You know, I know how to be a Christian businessman, and this is going to be good. And as time went on, I started to get this knocking, you know, like the Lord was saying, I need you to do something. I need you to do more for me than what you're doing right now. And I just said, nah, that's just, it's normal. It's conviction, you know. But this one time, I was sitting there in my room doing my studies, and my roommate was sitting with me. And as I was looking, reading, focused in my books, my roommate just jumped up and just took off. Now, I looked at him run, you know, in Africa, when somebody does that, you don't question. You just get up and you follow, you run, because you don't know what's coming. Okay? So that's what I did. I just took off and we were out the door in the hallway. I'm saying, man, what are you running from? He's like, man, did you see that? There's a spider. There's a spider in there. I'm like, come on, man. A spider? So I walked back in. Where is it? It's over there. It's over there. So I go over there. I get the web and, you know, I release it out the window. And I said to him, I was like, aren't you a missions major? He's like, yeah. I'm like, where do you suppose the Lord will be calling you to be a missionary? He said, I'm leaning toward Africa. I looked at him, I said, and you're running from a spider? You have no idea what you're getting yourself into. And the Holy Spirit was like, but you do. I was like, come on, I'm not a Bible student. You know, I brushed it off. But I started to get uncomfortable, and it started to become more obvious what God was wanting me to do, but I didn't want to do it. Because why in the world? I mean, God is, you know, omniscient, okay? Why in the world would God allow me to come all the way to America, get enrolled in business education, get a business degree just to send me back? It doesn't make sense. Why couldn't I just be right there in Africa and study and become a church planner? So I concluded that was just my mind. That's not God. Can't be God. Doesn't make sense. Went on with my life. Got married. Was working for UPS in Chicago, in corporate America, not a truck driver. And so I had a good job. I was doing just fine until a missionary showed up in church. And he started to give his testimony. And he said, I came from Paraguay, and I came here to go to school to Penn State. And I did my electrical engineering. I remember him. And started giving his testimony, how he grew up and how he got his electrical engineering degree. And his preacher started preaching out of Luke 12 and how, you know, whom much has been given, much shall be required, and whom God has given, you know, more, the more shall be, you know, shall be asked. And I'm sitting there looking and listening to him. And he said, so I knew that God was talking to me, even though the text is not about, you know, about a Christian, but I knew that God was talking to me. I didn't hear anything else that he said. For I don't know what city in Paraguay is going to, or what they were. I have no idea. That is where it ended, and the conversation between the Holy Spirit and I began. You know, it just started questioning me. Martin, have I blessed you? Yes, Lord, you blessed me. Martin, do you still think it doesn't make sense for me to call you to go back to Zambia? Well, Lord, why would you be asking me that? I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, Martin, think about it. Do the preachers in Zambia have as much exposure to the Word of God and to the resources and to the churches that can help and just the knowledge as you do? No, they don't. Do the missionaries that are leaving the United States going to Zambia to start churches, do they know the language? Nah, they don't. What about the culture? Do they have to learn the culture and get used to it? Yeah. Do you? Nope. Do you know the language? Yep. Do you have to take 2 years to learn everything? Nope. Do you still think it doesn't make sense? I don't know what missionary was up there talking. You know, I was in another world having this conversation with the Holy Ghost. And I knew that I had been running from the Lord long enough. And this was it. I knew that if I refused and rejected, that I was asking for a Jonah moment. Because he made it clear and obvious, this is what I want you to do, and this is where I want you to do it, and this is why. And I knew that that's what I needed to do. So that time, that moment, you know, I looked at my wife and I said, I gotta go. She knew. I don't know how she knew, telepathy, I guess, I don't know, but she knew. I just got up and I went forward and I knelt down and prayed and talked to the pastor, and he said, that's what I thought, but I was just waiting to hear from you. And that was it. That was the beginning of the, you can call it the journey or the beginning of full-time ministry. I, within 2 months, resigned my job. My job was a fine job. I had a, you know, it was a good job, though I was very uncomfortable working that job, because the higher I went, the more into the world I was exposed. And I knew that that was not where I needed to be. So the Lord squeezed me already. And it was obvious that I needed to make the compromise of accepting the world. I mean, I'm talking about, I had Hollywood accounts, actors, and you know the world they're in. You know, I had gay people that I had to manage accounts with, and they would say, you want to get a coffee? And I can't say no. And I was saying, Lord, I don't want to do this, but it's my job, you know? So he squeezed me. That's what I chose. And he squeezed me and said, this is what you wanted. There you go. You know? And so I knew. And that's why I said it was going to be a Jonah moment, because I knew exactly I was going to Tarshish, you know? That was the call, and how I, you know, surrendered then to full-time ministry, resigned my job. Everybody thought I was crazy and, you know, saying all kinds of things, you know, but I had no idea. There was no guarantee of future employment. How am I going to feed the kids? Where am I going to work? What's God? I just knew that I didn't need to be in that environment that I was in, that I needed to surrender and serve the Lord. Amen. And so we moved to Missouri, and there found a good church there, Second Baptist Church in Festus, Missouri. And the pastor there, you know, took me on. He said, I'm going to hire you. I'm going to put you on staff. We'll get you ready. We'll get you prepared. And we're going to put you in seminary. And the Lord just opened the door. He was just waiting for me to step out. And it's just amazing to see what God had done. And that same pastor, my pastor in Festus, Missouri, then received the call to go out and pastor the Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas. So that's how we end up in Texas. And we've been there. And we've been there ever since. Okay, so that's the beginning of, you know, the kids call it the Martin Schlander Show. But... It's the beginning of our ministry, and we went to Zambia in 2014. You'll get an opportunity to see later this afternoon. I see the video of what's going on. But when we went to Zambia in 2014, we had plans to plant and start a new work. And then a missionary called me, and he said, I can't go back, and would you consider going and helping the church that I started get back on its feet? They only had nine or 11 people. Some of them had two families in there. I said, well, I don't know. Well, okay, yeah, I guess it'll be okay. We'll do it. It was, you know, my hometown where I grew up, and I figured we needed a, you know, Independent Baptist King James Bible Preaching Church, soul winning, in my town, so that, you know, folks there could have a place to be able to go. And so that's what we did. We got there, of course. You know, it was like starting a new church. There was a building and there was a few people, but not much going on. And so we were there, helped to reorganize that church, motivated the men, trained the preachers that were there, you know, gave them the resources that they needed, got things put in order. Okay, we set the house. It was like Titus. You know, Titus really came alive when I was in Kitwe. And that church grew. That church was just waiting for someone faithful, or the members to be faithful and get up and do what they're supposed to do. And that church just grew. And little did we know that the Lord was actually preparing us for what we had planned to do, set out to do. And that is because this church was right at the gates of the second largest university in Zambia, the Copper Belt University. And so we used to go on campus and witness to students and had a student outreach and would bring students into the church. And that church grew and was growing because students were coming in. And it was just wonderful to see what the Lord was doing, until we're ready to step aside and Brother Elvis took over. I know everybody laughs when I say Pastor Elvis, but yeah, it is Brother Elvis took over the church as a pastor, and they're doing just fine. And we moved to Lusaka, the capital city. We knew where we wanted to be, and we started that church out of our home. And little did we know that where we were going to be set was going to be surrounded by universities and colleges. And so we had already got our feet wet in Kitwe, where we were, and it was much easier for us to go into these colleges and into these campuses to be able to witness to the young people there. And we started out of our home, and the Lord has blessed us, and the Lord has allowed the church to grow from there. We outgrew our living room, went to a little office conference hall. We outgrew that, went out into a tent. We outgrew that, you know, and now we're in a hall that is about as big as this, and, you know, looking forward to outgrow that too. But the Lord has been blessing. And you know, during COVID, we thought, well, you know what? This thing is going to fall apart, and we're just not gonna have any members, and you know, the devil gets to you and you start thinking those things. But you know, I was reassured with the scripture, and the Lord said, I will build my church. Yeah. You know, he didn't say, Martin, you will build my church for me. No, he says, I will build my church. And around us, we saw missionaries leaving, of course, the fear around, everybody saying, you need to leave, it's going to be bad, and you're going to die. And, you know, I'm just going, you know, God didn't send me here to, you know, just to, you know, have me leave and just drop the work. I believe if that is evident that God would want us to do that, he will make it evident. Otherwise, we'll just keep going on. And we kept going. And I can say that it's not my efforts or strategies or anything like that, but we saw the greatest growth during the pandemic time than we ever did. Yeah. And you know, and it's so, I really, I don't know. You know, we were running our cars on Sunday morning to pick up people, we started running buses. You know, we had a few kids in our Sunday school class. Then they tripled or quadrupled. You know, we started seeing the colleges were closed. Now, if you remember, I said we started evangelizing colleges, and so that's why I thought, if colleges are closed and everything is, you know, and that's the bulk of our membership, you know, this thing is just not, maybe we just need to take a break. But no, people started coming from the city, you know, and now that the number of people that are in the church is not primarily the college students. I would say college students right now are about maybe 15%. It used to be like 70-75%. And so just to see what the Lord has done is remarkable. And knowing that He is in control no matter what situation we may be facing is assuring. Look, everything was there. We lost support. We lost about 20% of our support because some churches closed, some churches just, I don't know what was going on. And it's easy as a missionary to get frustrated. Just frustrated, everybody at home. What are they doing? Don't they know that we're out here doing, you know? You can start talking to yourself and all this stuff. You know, I was like, well, God's faithful. You know, we need to run these buses, but my support's going down. How are we going to do this? But we ran those buses every week. We paid our bills. We did everything we needed to do. And God, you know, God was faithful. And I'm thankful. I'm really thankful for that. We saw several people get baptized, and we're just glad for what the Lord is doing in Zambia, in the capital city. And you know, we'll get to talk a little bit more. I know we have only a few minutes left here, but I just wanted to take some time and introduce you to us. We're currently on furlough. We've been here since the beginning of March. We're going to be here up until the end of July is when we're doing our furlough, but we leave in August. And so we're going to be on the road. It's the furthest point we get to come. So don't be too worried. And you know, the kids said we want to see the Capitol. So, yeah, so we gotta come here and do that. It's good stuff. It's part of the homeschool curriculum, right? Well, amen. All right. Well, I think I can do this. I can pull off a 10-minute sermonette. We got some practice on this. All right. If you get your Bibles and turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 8, just so we can be able to make sure that we had Bible study. All right, Luke chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just going to go through here and then you can follow me. Verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and shewing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So here we see what I call the blueprint to missions. A lot of people will ask a question to say, you know, we talk about pray, give, go, go teach, baptize, teach, and there are all these things that people say, but did the Lord actually do it? I mean, is there really an example of the Lord doing what a missionary does? It's right there. Okay. So here's the first thing we see. Let's pray real quick and we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share our burden and our heart with this wonderful church. I pray, Father, that you may open our hearts and ears now to the preaching and teaching of your word this day through Christ the Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, so the first thing here we see is the Lord's obedience. The Lord's obedience says, and it came to pass afterward that he went. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and so here we see the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed, the Lord Jesus Christ went. Not only did he leave heaven to come here, but he also went out. He left and his home and went out. In Luke 19:10, it says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his motto, if you'd like to say. That was if it was a company, that's what he would have on the van, okay? And so that was Jesus Christ, to seek and to save that which was lost. And we see his obedience in going. And before he left in John 20, 21, he said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. We are also commanded to go. And so we see this same example the Lord Jesus Christ leads by. He went, and we see his obedience. Then we see the Lord's vision. The Lord's vision says, throughout every city and every village. And so you get to understand here the difference in the quality of living, or the lifestyle, or the education level, the kind of people that you're dealing with. Okay, when we talk about city and village, okay, in Africa it's very evident because of the poverty levels. You see that in the cities, in the places where there's a white collar folks, it's a more, organized and affluent neighborhoods. Yes, there are affluent neighborhoods in Africa. And then when you go into the villages, you see the rural, literacy levels are really low. It's just, a different kind of thing. And Jesus Christ is not partial. Jesus Christ is not partial. The gospel is not partial. There is no specific person. There is no specific place. There's no specific time. And that's just the gospel. Okay. And so we see Jesus Christ went. Okay. And then the other thing we see, so he went and we see his vision. Okay. And then we see the Lord's mission, preaching and showing glad tidings of good things. And so we see here, glad tidings of the kingdom of God. We see the Lord Jesus Christ went preaching. His mission was a preaching mission, preaching the kingdom of God. The churches today have a mission, and that mission is to preach Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is our mission. And then we see the Lord's partners. He says, and the 12 were with him. He didn't go alone. He didn't go that long alone. And we see him here with the partners. And so we understand this is the church. He took his church with him. And so we understand it's not just preacher's job to go out and talk to people and reach people with the gospel and all of that stuff. We say, well, I have a job. I have 40 hours a week that I got to do. I got to drive. That's his job. Well, guess what? Lord Jesus Christ took his church with him. And we and you as a church ought to be there to support and help your preacher as he goes out every single day to reach folks, because there are people that you can reach that he will never have contact with. And so this is the Lord showing us the 12 were with him. And then, so there's the partners, and then we see the substance. This is what we would refer to maybe as the support. Okay, his support group. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzer, and Herod, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him with their substance. And we're talking about support. Lord had to eat. Lord had to get on a boat, go across to wherever he needed to go across. You know, the Lord had to lodge somewhere. I mean, when they went into cities, there's certain things that needed to be done. There is obviously a lot of things that come that are necessary for ministry to happen. There is a lot of things other than just the preaching on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday and a Sunday night that take place for ministry to happen. And it requires a lot of people, a lot of moving parts. Right now, there's other moving parts going on right here in this place. And see, here we see the Lord had this support network. It's not just the preachers. It's not just the preacher boys. It's not just the apostles with him. But we see ladies here involved in this. And we see it talks about Joanna, the wife of Chuzza there, which is interesting. You know, that's a pretty affluent, you know, lady there who probably is the wife of, a man that works for the Roman government. And so we see how they brought their substance to be able to help the Lord Jesus Christ in his quest to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we are also called to do the same. We ought to understand that there's nothing that I have, there's nothing that I own, there's nothing that I pursue that is mine. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the Word of God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It means everything that is in here, whether I worked to earn my degree, I worked to build my business, I worked to build my farm, I worked to do, listen, I went out, campaigned, got elected, or whatever it is. Listen, there's nothing that you are, that you have, that you own, that is all you. It is God's, and he can take it from you if he wants. And so he's asking you to use that which you have for his kingdom. And we thank God that he has chosen us to be a part of the gospel mission, to share the gospel with those who have not heard, with those who are right here in La Plata, and those that we come in contact with or where God is going to send us. And we're thankful that God has chosen that. I did it in 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great God and a loving God. We thank you for, Lord, Bethel Baptist Church and Lord, these lovely folks that you have brought together here, assembled to carry out the work of your gospel. I pray, Father, that you may empower them. You've already done that. Lord, you may give them the boldness and the help that they need to be able to take your gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. I pray, Father, that you may give us a blessed day. Bless everything that takes place here this morning. Through Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen.